Tierna Davidson has been playing soccer since she was a kid.
That was always my passion. I always loved playing soccer. But when I was growing up, I was actually largely told that I couldn't make a career out of soccer because you had to be at the upper echelon, the top 1% of players, to be able to make it a living career.
And even if she did make it to the top 1%, the amount of money she could make as a female soccer player was way less than what a man would. Many female professional soccer players only make around $30,000 a year on their club teams. Do you remember when you first learned that there was a pay gap between men and women?
Probably when people started telling me that it wasn't a livable career is when I kind of began to understand that, well, every professional men's soccer player seems to make quite a nice living career out of soccer. So to be told, like, oh, you're too smart to have a career in that was kind of odd. And then it made me second guess why I put so much time into soccer. People were telling me, oh, like, you could make so much more of your career or your working life or whatever doing something else.
Tierna did make it to the pros. She plays professionally for the Chicago Red Stars and on the U.S. women's national team.
Nice move, Davidson, trying to recover, and does.
And not only did she accomplish her dream of making it to the pros, she's also now going to get equal pay for it. Yesterday, the U.S. Soccer Federation reached an agreement with the players that would, for the first time, pay male and female players equally. And Tierna had a seat at the negotiating table. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Thursday, May 19th. Coming up on the show, U.S. soccer player Tierna Davidson on women's soccer's big pay raise.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Soccer players that represent the U.S., both male and female, play for the same organization, the U.S. Soccer Federation. And over the past two decades, the women's soccer team has been a lot more successful than the men's team. They've won four World Cups, while the men haven't won any. But the men make a lot more money. In 2016, five of the top U.S. women's soccer players filed a federal wage discrimination complaint, saying that the women's national team is paid almost four times less than the men's. The complaint didn't trigger any changes, so the women's soccer players escalated their battle. This happened around the same time Tierna Davidson joined the U.S. women's team in 2018.
You know, I remember a couple of the senior players calling everybody into a meeting and telling us, like, we're going to file this lawsuit against U.S. soccer. And it was, at first, kind of a lot to take in as a younger player, especially because, you know, my name's about to be on a lawsuit. But it was kind of humbling, but also comforting to be in a room with people that knew how to go out and get what they deserved and to follow them and listen to whatever they had to say and what they wanted to do. I was like, yeah, I am on board. I am all for this.
In 2019, all 28 players on the U.S. women's national soccer team filed a gender discrimination lawsuit against the U.S. Soccer Federation. They said they were being discriminated against, and not just over pay. It also had to do with things like training, medical treatment, and travel arrangements. And what was the mood like among your teammates after filing this lawsuit?
I think energized. I think a little bit anxious, but I think energized. I mean, as I said before, we have so many players that just seem like they're not fazed by anything. So sometimes it's hard to read what people's real emotions are. we have a group of players that love to constantly be told no and to constantly show up and be like, no, I'm not going to let you tell me no. Or like constantly be told you're not good enough to do this and then show up and be good enough to do that and succeed.
A few months after players filed the lawsuit in 2019, the team was playing in the World Cup. You're playing in the World Cup after suing your bosses. What did that feel like? I mean, that must have been a sort of a strange mix of emotions in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, going into it, we had the attitude of we have to block out everything on the outside and we need to focus on our goal and accomplish our goal. But I think a lot of winning that tournament was due to the fire that was lit underneath us with regards to this lawsuit, which was just kind of like, you know, we're going to go say, I don't know if I can swear on this.
Do it.
F you. We're going to go say F you and say, and we're going to go win this World Cup. We're going to prove that we are number one in the world and we deserve to be treated like it.
The women's team did play with fire in the tournament.
Davidson sending it across the line, drive, header, goal!
When they won, the crowd went wild.
For the fourth time, the United States of America are crowned champions of the world.
The final game was played in Lyon, France. Tierna says she'll never forget how the fans reacted.
Man, I still get goosebumps if I like see a video of it, just because we had just won, we had our flags, we were hugging each other, you know, thanking the fans, trying to find our parents and our relatives in the stands, and all of a sudden, you hear the chant, and at first, it sounds like USA, because it's got the same cadence, it's got kind of the same intonations, and then you listen a little bit closer, and people are chanting equal pay.
Equal pay! Equal pay!
Oh my God, this is bigger than just the game that we've won. Like, all of our fans are supporting what we're doing off the field, which is fighting in this lawsuit. It was really cool to see. It was really special.
They won the World Cup, but they had to keep fighting for equal pay. In early 2020, the U.S. Soccer Federation responded to the players' lawsuit. In a legal filing, the federation said women shouldn't be paid equally because they didn't have equal skills. According to the filing, playing on the men's team requires, quote, a higher level of skill based on speed and strength. How did that response make you feel?
It made me feel belittled to think that the person that, or, you know, the organization that's running our team, that's, you know, promoting our team, that's supporting our team, would say that about us. What also bothered me is that they would, you know, would put the men's team in like direct contention with us because, you know, we're supposed to be rooting for each other. We're supposed to be wanting each other's mutual success. I mean, we work every day just as hard, you know, to achieve what we've achieved. And to say, oh, you know, they don't need to be as fast. They don't need to be as strong. They don't need to be as good as soccer to win those games. It's just kind of a slap in the face.
The U.S. Soccer Federation later apologized for the comments, and its president resigned. How the men's and women's teams came together to close the pay gap? That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
How well do we know the people we work with every day? We share lunches, jokes, and deadlines, but are we aware of the unseen struggles we often face silently? Stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or feeling misunderstood at work. Through insight, awareness, and empathy, we can start to better see the issues our coworkers are dealing with, and that can make us and our companies healthier too. Join Holly Robinson-Pete and her guests on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare.
In 2020, as the debate over women's pay continued, the U.S. Soccer Federation got a new president, a woman named Cindy Parlow Cohn, who played for the U.S. national team a couple decades ago. Here she is at a public event.
I love this game. I'm cursed with probably caring too much, but I believe in this game and I believe in the future of this game.
Tierna says that she and her fellow players were excited to have someone like Cohn at the top of U.S. soccer.
I think that was really big for us, just because to have somebody in the driver's seat kind of that understood where we were coming from and really had the experience to resonate with our concerns and our gripes was really helpful, because now you've got someone on the other side who wants to help solve the problem, that wants to help come to a solution, because she understands where we're coming from. She's been in our shoes. It was very helpful. It was kind of a breath of fresh air.
Under Cohn, the U.S. Soccer Federation settled the players' lawsuit for $24 million. But one of the things the settlement was contingent on was the players getting a new labor agreement. Tierna was on the committee that negotiated the contract. But the pay gap problem isn't just with U.S. soccer. It also involves FIFA, the International Soccer Organization. FIFA is responsible for setting the prize money for the World Cup, and it sets men's prizes higher than women's. For instance, at the most recent World Cups, the winning men's team got $38 million. When the U.S. women's team won, they only got $4 million. Which means, if the women wanted equal pay, they were going to need to get the men's team on board.
In order to level out the playing field with regards to FIFA prize money payout, we needed them to be willing to pool money, because that's a large issue that U.S. soccer necessarily can't solve, because they're not the ones.
Because FIFA is the international body that runs the World Cup.
Right. And so U.S. soccer's, you know, not in charge of that. They're not in charge of the payouts that FIFA offer for a World Cup. And so, you know, we needed to find a way around that, because that was one of our biggest issues, is that, you know, we're winning a World Cup and we're getting paid $4 million as a team, and a men's team who loses in group play in a World Cup is getting paid $9 million to be there. So there's like literally no way for us to make the same amount of money as a men's team if they qualify for the World Cup, even if we win the World Cup. And so that was a bit of disparity that couldn't be solved necessarily by U.S. soccer just, you know, deciding to pay us more money. So we had to work with the men's national team to get them on board with the idea of pooling prize money.
Were there any moments during that got like particularly tense?
Yeah, I mean, the negotiations can get tense, and it's something that it was kind of not fun, but interesting to watch, where lawyers being politely rude to each other. my dad was a retired lawyer, so I kind of know how you can be politely rude, but just that they're getting in a little fight. Yeah, there was definitely some times where it got a bit tense, but everybody was able to keep their head for the most part. So the conclusion that we've come to is that they would pool all of their prize money, we would pool all of our prize money, put it together, and then split it equally. And that was a big thing for them to agree to, because they, quite frankly, have a lot more potential earnings than we do in a FIFA setting. And so to get them to agree to that was a big milestone for us.
With that hurdle out of the way, the sides started to come together.
I remember Becca, our executive director, said, you know, I think we're going to kind of come to tentative agreement on most of the articles within the next week. I'm like, within the next week? It's just kind of unbelievable after we'd been working on it for since March of last year, to think, wow, this actually could really be done in a week. And then when Becca was like, okay, we're going to send out the vote soon to the players to ratify, I'm like, oh my gosh, if the players all vote and we get the number of votes that we need, this is done. Like, this is for real. So it was certainly surreal to think that we were getting to where we need to go.
And yesterday, they announced a deal.
This morning, a tremendous win for women in sports.
U.S. Soccer has agreed to an equal pay deal for the men's and women's teams.
A collective bargaining agreement was the last step. The terms include sharing World Cup prize money equally among the men and women players, something no other soccer federation in the world.
Ultimately, the men, the women, and the federation came to a package of agreements to create, quote, identical economic terms for the two teams. The agreements give both men's and women's players significant raises. A women's player used to earn about $7,000 for making the roster of a team that won a World Cup qualifying game, while her male counterpart would make around $18,000. Now, both will make $24,000. What does it mean to young Tierna, the kid that was told, maybe you shouldn't focus so much of your time on soccer because you can't make a living out of it?
Well, now that little kid can go say, screw you. Yeah, I can make a livable wage. Like, it means that, you know, you can, as a young player, if you want to dedicate yourself to the sport of soccer, you can. Like, you don't need someone in your ear telling you, oh, no, you better have, you know, plan A, B, and C, because your soccer career is not something that you can reasonably think is going to happen.
And not only that, you could make good money doing it.
Right. You're not going to be living paycheck to paycheck. You can put money away for retirement. You can start a family. Like, we see players starting families left, right, and center, I feel like, this year. So it really is very exciting to see kind of how this whole environment has started to flourish.
That's all for today, Thursday, May 19th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Rachel Bachman. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.